So I'm speaking with Dr. Amber Gaffney, who's an assistant professor of psychology here at HSU, and Sam Woods, who's a residence assistant, who is also in Philadelphia right now. Ladies, thank you for appearing on Homepage, and welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So you're in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Literally and figuratively, that's what it means. It seems like this week it's full of sisterly love as well.
I was going to say the same thing.
So, Amber, you are doing research, and that is why you've been at both the Republican convention and the Democratic convention. Can you explain a little bit what you're doing?
So we have two studies going on. The first study, what we really wanted to look at changes in how both Democrats and Republicans view leadership, because as you might imagine, just by following the news, there's definitely some differences in the parties, maybe being more open to certain candidates, such as, you know, a woman, for example, to putting a woman in office, or Donald Trump potentially poses some differences within the Republican Party. So we're looking at that in one study. And what we really wanted was high identifiers, people who identify very strongly with the Republican Party, people who identify very strongly with the Democratic Party. And we were also looking for schisms or breaks within the party. So people who thought, okay, well, Trump's going to be the candidate, or Hillary Clinton's going to be the candidate. Am I just going to go ahead and branch off because I don't support them? Go for something else. So that is one study. And then as the conventions got closer and closer, and we were following a few of the students, Sam included in my lab, were following a lot of the social media about protests that were scheduled at these conventions, we thought, well, we study groups of people, there's going to be protests. We might as well study collective action and people's motivations to participate in collective action, and also potential support for what looks to be like populist candidates such as Trump and Bernie Sanders as well. So we have two different studies going on that we're collecting data for right now.
So collecting that data, which is people, how'd you go about that? Let's talk about Cleveland first.
Okay. So the first thing that we did, well, we wanted to get people who are strongly identified and kind of traditional Republicans. And so we'd hoped to get convention goers at Cleveland. That proved to be incredibly difficult. I didn't have credentials or access to the RNC. I was denied on every attempt, which, isn't shocking with some of my attempts in the past for that. But we were able to secure a lot of data from protesters, which was really, really interesting. And, we do quantitative research, so we have surveys, and Sam can talk with you a lot about the data collection on how that's been going in Philly, because she's been working her tail off for that. But basically, we have surveys where we ask people questions, and with the protest specifically, we want to get them in the moment while it's kind of heated, but obviously they're not going to be like, hey, yeah, I'll take the survey right here while I'm trying to protest. So the research assistants have been really smart in getting them to take the surveys. And we have both paper and pencil measures and iPads. So we've used both, and thus far it seemed to work out pretty well.
Well, you had Berkeley Ross with you there in Cleveland, and as you said, Sam Woods is with you there in Philly. Sam, talk a little bit about your work there.
So I've been following all of the protesters and handing them the surveys, and I basically blended in and kind of acted like I was one of them. So it was really interesting to see how passionate they are about their cause and that they really think that they're going to be making a difference. And it was also cool to see the change. When we first got here, they were very calm and just excited about being here supporting Bernie. And then as soon as the roll call was completed and Hillary got the nomination, everything changed. And suddenly the protesters got a little more riled up and were really upset and emotional over the fact that their candidate didn't get nominated.
Well, you talked about you surveyed protesters. So let's go back to Cleveland for a minute. So the protesters that you surveyed, were they protesting Trump or protesting the RNC? Or can you discern which protesters are which?
Yes, for sure. And most of the protests, actually all of the protests that, from which we collected data there, I observed while Berkeley
our other research assistant and my collaborator, Justin Hackett, who's at a university in Pittsburgh, they collected the data. And so I could see exactly, you know, what was going on in the protest for safety concerns there. There were a lot of safety concerns in Cleveland leading up to it. And also on our surveys to make sure that we could capture the group that they belonged to and also which they were protesting against, we had items on the survey where people would tell us exactly what their group is, what they're protesting against, and what they're demonstrating in favor of. It was seriously all over the place. Everybody had a different cause. There were so many different groups there. After a little while, it looked to me, just as an observer, it looked to me as if people really wanted to get on TV, which it was a great place to do that because there was probably more media than there were actual protesters. So,
what was the police presence like there in Cleveland?
That was interesting. So, you know, there's a lot of research on crowd behavior and rioting behavior and how crowds interact with police. So I had all of these, you know, plans and ready to go and for the research assistants on how they can maintain safety and what to do. The police, for the most part, they interacted with the crowds pretty well. I mean, but there were thousands of cops, and you would be, I mean, there were far more cops than many of these protests there were actual protesters. And if a group came that kind of had a heated presence surrounding it, so for example, the Westboro Baptist Church, which they're actually out here just on this plaza protesting close to us right now, but they tend to bring about a heated presence around them. And so whenever those folks would show up in Cleveland, the police officers came from all over the country. I mean, I even met some PhD officers from Eureka. So from all over the country, they would, you know, circle the protest area and try to, you know, make sure that nothing, you know, looked as if they were trying to make sure that nothing dangerous was happening and make their presence known. And they were on bicycles, they were on horses and on foot. So, yeah, it was, but, you know, they would just follow the protest where they thought that it would get the most heated.
Well, I think sometimes both the media and people who are in charge of the conventions might have thought that this was 1968, but it seems like things have been basically peaceful. Now, Amber, you had said something to me because we've been texting back and forth. I'm getting my thrills vicariously through you and your students.
Yes.
And you talked about some of the ugliness of the vendors. Did you get to also survey some of the vendors?
So at Cleveland specifically, the speech in Cleveland, the rhetoric that the protesters used and the vendors, because people really capitalize on, you know, the sentiment, especially of people who show up to any type, whether they're pro something or they're anti something, if they're willing to travel halfway or all of the way across the country, they're passionate about something and they want to wear it all over their sleeves, all over their hats, all over their shirts, basically. So there was a lot of merchandise, a lot of anti-Clinton merchandise specifically, and some of it was pretty ugly, pretty sexist. And a lot of, more than that, was just the rhetoric that a lot of these groups used to identify both who they were and who they weren't in terms of other groups. And so there was really a lot of negativity in Cleveland, which, you know, some of that you might have seen in Trump's speech at the convention as well. I mean, it was a sense of, you know, there's impending doom and this if something doesn't happen. And you saw that kind of ugliness in the way that people were speaking outside of that convention as well.
I know it reminded me maybe not so much of 1968, which I do have memories of, but more like 1992 when the Clintons first came on the scene and what D.C. looked like with some of those vendors. Now, did you find any similarities or dissimilarities there in Philly?
At first, no. So at first, the first day of the DNC before the DNC started, so on Sunday, Sam and I went out to some of the protesting areas, and Sam was on all these social media sites. She's been really great following them and saying, okay, a protest is supposed to be here. So we showed up, and other than the humidity and the heat, I really felt like I was at could be Jam Fest in Humboldt County. It was just, you know, a bunch of Bernie supporters way back, pretty happy to be there and pretty calm and mellow, how Sam suggested. But, you know, as it rolled on today, is looking a bit more similar to the stuff that we saw in Cleveland. There's a lot of negativity, but all of the negativity that I'm seeing today is directed specifically toward the DNC, and a lot of it is geared toward Hillary Clinton, and less so toward a specific group. So you're not seeing the hate speech towards Muslims or the hate speech towards immigrants that was certainly all over the place in Cleveland.
So, Sam, what were your expectations when you signed up with your professor there to participate in this?
I'm not really sure what I expected. I guess I kind of expected people to be more rallied up and less nice. but talking to them, they were all super friendly, and they all were excited about our research, so they actually wanted to take our surveys. So I guess I didn't expect that at all.
Now, there is a similarity. I've been watching a lot of the convention on TV, and there was a fellow who goes to Humboldt State University who was on one of the cable news. And, of course, there's a similarity. They talked about the California delegation. They talked about the Bernie supporters. So how similar is it to being a student here at Humboldt State University, being involved with the politics around you and the observations? Did you feel kind of a little bit at home there?
I definitely did, because most of the protesters here were in support of Bernie. So, yeah, I guess it was a lot like being back in Humboldt. And I met a lot of hippies who were from California, actually. Yeah, so it was really cool to see all the different places people come from. One of the cool things for Sam also is she's had the experience of being outside and, like, seriously embedded within these protests, and then also going inside the convention where it's an absolutely different feel. And so from our vantage point in the convention, it feels, it would feel absolutely different to anything that you would feel on the street. There was clearly much more support for Clinton in there, although on the first day there were a lot of boos anytime her name was mentioned, which you probably have seen on the news. But it was neat to see Sam experience both sides of that, so both the, like, you know, anti-establishment and more of the process of a convention. So that's been fun.
Sam, I love sports and I love politics, and I know Amber does too. And a lot of times I think of the rallies, and particularly the convention with 40,000 people in an arena. It's like a sporting event. What was that feeling like for you? What did you feel when you were on the floor of the convention?
I was kind of in awe, honestly. It was really cool to see. I've been to sporting events, so it was really similar to that. But, yeah, it was just incredible to see all the different speakers and see the crowd's reactions when Michelle Obama and Bernie got to get up there and talk. Yeah, so it was really neat.
How about that electricity for you, Amber?
Yeah, for me that was, well, one, Michelle Obama's speech was pretty phenomenal, and so I can't imagine. What was really interesting is there were, throughout that, on Monday, throughout the entire convention, anytime, Hillary Clinton's name was mentioned or the Democratic Party was mentioned in some way, there was a lot of boos. And when Michelle was speaking, there were no boos because it seemed to me that she was speaking to something that brought together everyone in that room. It was kind of as if everyone in that room realized that even if they have disagreements, these are all of the issues that they agree on. So that was a really cool thing to see. And it was really interesting to me to see the different ways that Hillary supporters reacted to Bernie's speech versus Bernie supporters reacting to Bernie's speech, and, you know, the actual emotional content and, like, their body languages while watching that speech. I mean, Hillary's supporters were all appeared to be very respectful of Bernie's speech, but you saw this, like, you know, I guess the only way I can describe it is love for Bernie from his supporters. And that was a really interesting thing for a researcher who studies, leadership rhetoric to see, and see how that effect that he had on his followers. So that was pretty neat.
How about the comparisons to 2008 when Hillary, did you talk to any delegates who were there, who were Hillary delegates in 2008, who had to look at their reaction and the reaction of Bernie supporters? Was there a similarity there for them?
Yes. Most of the Hillary supporters with whom I've spoken, they didn't make that comparison, although they a lot of them seemed to feel that they were taking unfair heat from Bernie supporters. And so they didn't talk about how, you know, they felt left out of the process in 2008. But I did talk to some superdelegates who felt as if they had received some negativity from Bernie supporters in the past. And, you know, it was interesting to speak to them because we heard the news reports earlier in the season where superdelegates were getting death threats and things like this. And some of the superdelegates with whom I spoke were talking about getting, you know, phone calls at home and I know where you live and things like that, which I highly doubt is representative of the entire, you know, group of people who support Bernie Sanders. But to hear that come from those superdelegates now was kind of an interesting thing. So
what's today's plans and tomorrow as you wrap things up?
So today, well, interestingly, Sam and I are sitting, we have a bunch of police around us, so I'm going to move a little bit away. Sam apparently is cool with that.
Be safe.
It's completely safe, but I didn't want to get in their way. So today we are observing a protest, and Jill Stein's supposed to speak at this. And then after that, we are hoping to go and collect some more data on our leadership study, so find some of those, you know, kind of strongly identified, well-informed Democrats, collect some data on that. And then this evening, either attend some of the events that are around Cleveland, or if we can somehow wriggle our way into seeing Obama speak, I am pretty sure Sam would be thrilled for that. I know I would, but, you know, we'll just see what happens with that.
Well, Dr. Amber Gaffney, assistant professor of psychology here at HSU, and she has two students, Sam Woods and Berkeley Ross, who have been doing surveys with her on leadership. We welcome you back here when you get home. I know that Thursday Night Talk has a space for you and your two students, so we can talk about things further. Thank you so much for participating. Be safe, be well, and enjoy.
Thank you so much, Brenda.
All righty. Back to you, Katie.